Good morning, everyone. It's a great joy to be here with you today. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles, if you have a copy of God's Word, and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. And last week, I began a series that I call Seven Signs and One Savior. We're leading up to Easter Sunday, and we're going through John's Gospel. John records seven, he calls them signs. They're miracles. They are sign miracles that point to Jesus and His power and His glory. And every one of these miracles is a miracle with a message. Today we're going to talk about a miracle that shows us that Jesus can strengthen your faith. We're going to see how Jesus brought healing to a nobleman's son and how He strengthened that man's faith as He healed his son. So if you will, you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're in John chapter 4. We're beginning in verse 46 of the text. Listen to what the Word of God says. The Bible says, "So Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where He had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my son dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, 'Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him.' The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live,' and he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee." This is the Word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, I thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the way it reveals to us your Son, Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would move me out of the way, that today we might see Jesus and believe. We'll give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. And church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. As I'm thinking about signs along the road, there's a particular sign. It's usually two signs that you'll see when you're going down the highway. You see one, and then you drive a little bit further, and you see the other. They're usually bright orange signs with black lettering. And the first orange sign will say, "Begin construction." And then you drive down the highway for some distance, and you see the second bright orange sign. It says what? "End construction." Now, we've seen those signs, but let me ask you this. Have you ever seen those two signs, and in between the first sign and the second sign, you don't see any construction at all? There's nobody working. There's nobody there. There's no sign that anybody has been there. In fact, the same potholes, the same problems that have always been in that road are still there in spite of the sign that says "begin construction" and "end construction." You wonder, is there any real construction going on? When you get saved, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, God puts a sign on your life that says, "Begin construction." And for the rest of your life, until the day you die or until the day Jesus returns, your life and your faith are under construction. Here's the question. Is there any sign in your life right now that construction is going on? Is there spiritual progress? Is there a deepening faith in Jesus? Are you becoming more like God's Son? Are you walking more closely with Him each day? When God looks at your life, when you look at your life, when your friends look at your life, can they see signs of a growing and stronger faith? I know some people who seem to be living the first year of their Christian life over and over again. Just like they just keep sort of standing still, and they never move forward in the relationship that Jesus wants us to have with Him. I want us to look at this story of this man who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus with a shallow faith, sort of a superstitious faith. But God worked in his life, Jesus worked in his life, to give him a stronger faith. And as we talk about having a stronger faith, I want to share with you four characteristics of a stronger faith, a growing faith in Jesus Christ. First of all, the Bible shows us this. A stronger faith seeks what Jesus alone can provide. A stronger faith, a growing faith, comes to Jesus seeking what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, alone can provide. So notice what the Bible says in verse 46. The Bible says that Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee. We know that the first sign miracle in the Gospel of John was when Jesus turned water into wine at that wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now Jesus has been back up in the area of Judea. He's come now to Galilee once again, and he's in Cana again. And the Bible says that there was a man from Capernaum. That was the hometown, the headquarters of Jesus during his earthly ministry. But this man came from Capernaum to Cana where Jesus was. And the Bible says this about him. It says he was an official whose son was ill. The word for official there in the original language of Scripture is a word that simply means a royal man. Literally a king's man. He may have been a court official in Herod's court or something like that. He was probably not a king himself or even part of the royal family himself, but he was a king's man. He was someone who worked for the king. We don't know anything about him other than that he was a king's man, and this, his son was ill. And he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, and he went there to Jesus and asked Jesus to come down and heal his son. He heard about Jesus, and he came to Jesus. Why? Because his son was ill. In fact, the Bible says his son was at the point of death. Have you ever cried out for Jesus to step into your child's life and to bring healing where you are worried and fearful that there just is no hope? Our son Joshua is 21 years old now, but when he was about 1 year old to 18 months, somewhere in there, we were out to dinner with my mom and dad. They had come to visit us, and we had just gotten into the restaurant. We were getting ready to order our meals, and Joshua was normally happy and cheerful and fun, and all of a sudden, he just became really quiet and unresponsive. Michelle felt his forehead with her cheek and said, "He's hot. He's burning up." And she said, I think we need to go home. So we got up and went into the minivan. By the way, when we had a baby, my dad got a minivan. I never did understand that. We never had a minivan when the child was a baby. Anyway, we get into the minivan and we're driving back home. And I'm in the front seat with my dad, and Michelle's in the back seat with Joshua, and my mom's there behind them. And as we're driving, suddenly I hear Michelle says, "Something is wrong." And here's what went on. Joshua's eyes rolled back in his head. His body became stiff. His arms and his legs started twitching. Eventually, his eyes were normally sort of looked off to the side, but he was completely unresponsive. She was calling out his name. She was trying to get his attention. Nothing worked. My mom called from the back and said to my dad, "You need to take us to the hospital." And he's turning around the car and trying to find his way to the hospital. And eventually, before we got to the hospital, Joshua became normal again. I mean, he sort of went out of this trance he was in, and he started being himself, and the fever broke just in a few moments, less than 5 minutes. But we didn't know what was happening. We later learned that our son had something that's called a febrile seizure. Maybe you've heard about that. It's when a child's temperature spikes. And when the temperature spikes, the child just becomes unresponsive. And it's a very scary thing. When we went to the doctor, we found out that, first of all, it would do no damage to our son permanently, and that usually it would only last just a few moments, and all we needed to do was cool him down, and the seizure would go away. And so I know that what we experienced that day is not even a fraction of what some of you have experienced with your children or your grandchildren. But I think about what we experienced that day as we just cried out in that car for God to do something to make our son okay again. And I multiply that by 10,000, and I think about this man who came to Jesus. He was a king's man. He was a royal man. That meant he had at his disposal the best doctors, the best medications, the best resources anybody in that day could have had. But he had come to the place where nothing could be done for his son. So the Bible says he came to Jesus. Look in verse 47 again. And asked him. Literally, in the original language of Scripture, that word ask is a continuous verb. He kept asking and kept asking and kept pleading and kept begging for Jesus to come down and heal his son. He didn't know much about Jesus. He didn't know everything about who Jesus is and what Jesus can do, but he knew enough to know that Jesus could do something for his son that nobody else could do. Growing faith, stronger faith, seeks Jesus for what he alone provides. Jesus can provide things that no amount of money can provide. Jesus can provide what no amount of education or experience or human understanding or our own resources and strength can ever provide. We come to Jesus by faith and we plead with him and say, Jesus, I need you to step in and do what I can't do, do what no one else and nothing else can do, to do what you alone can do. When Jesus looks at your life, does he see a growing faith, a stronger faith that seeks what he alone can provide? There's a second thing I want you to see in this text, a second characteristic of stronger faith. The Bible says a stronger faith surrenders to what Jesus says. A stronger faith surrenders to what Jesus says. Look in verse 48 of the text. And there Jesus gives this man who came to him and is begging for him to heal his son, he gives him a mild rebuke. And not only to the man, but also to everyone who's in the crowd with him. Jesus said to him, unless you, and the you there is plural, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus said, you just want to see something. You just want me to do something. And only then do you believe and trust that I am who I say I am and that I can do what I promise to do. After the official heard that, look in verse 49. The official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Now I want you to notice something. The man was being very respectful to Jesus. He recognized him as an important person, but nevertheless, he was still trying to tell Jesus what to do. Have you ever come to God and said, God, I know who you are. I know that you're almighty. I know that you're omnipotent. I know that you rule and reign over everything, that you sustain the universe by your power moment by moment. But God, let me tell you what to do in this situation. Just in case you were wondering, I want to tell you. And so he told Jesus what to do. And then Jesus just turned things right around. When he said, sir, come down before my child dies. By the way, he misunderstood. He thought that Jesus had to be there. He had to be there for something to happen. The truth is, Jesus is always everywhere because he's Jesus. He thought he had to be there before his son died. And the truth is, Jesus had the power to bring his son back to life because he is the resurrection and the life. And so he had some misunderstandings about many things. He says, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. In other words, Jesus was saying, you don't give the orders here. You don't tell me to come. I'm telling you to go. And then he makes him this promise. Your son will live. And I can almost imagine the expression on that man's face changing as he heard Jesus say, go, your son will live. The fear just began to melt away. The worry began to melt away. The frustration and the anger that he may have been feeling even toward Jesus began to melt away because the Bible says the man believed the word Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Stronger faith surrenders to what Jesus says. When your faith is growing and becoming stronger, it brings you to the point of surrendering to say, God, I don't have to ask you or make you, try to make you do things on my terms. God, I will do things on your terms. I surrender. You know, when we pray, we're always looking for answers, but God is always looking for surrender. He's looking for a surrendered heart that says, Lord, whatever you want, I trust you, I believe you, I'll obey you. And so he believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. You see, faith comes when we hear God speak, when we hear Jesus speak, and we trust him and believe. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, as God speaks to us through His Son, as God speaks to us through His Word. The Word of God, the Word of Christ, awakens faith and trust in our hearts so that we can surrender to what God wants for us and obey Him and experience His power in our lives. I want to ask you this. When you are in conversation with God, in your relationship with God, who's doing most of the talking and who's doing most of the listening? Now, we're commanded by Scripture to bring our requests to God. But there's a difference between bringing a request and bringing a demand. When you come to God, who's doing most of the talking and who's doing most of the listening? A growing faith, a stronger faith, involves listening to God and then obeying Him. See, faith is simply taking God at His Word, trusting God at His Word. And the strength of our faith does not depend on the size of our faith. The strength of our faith depends on the size and strength of our God. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, increase our faith." And He said, "If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you." Can you see this mustard seed between my thumb and my index finger? Can you see that? That's because there's not one there between my thumb. There's not one there. But even if I had one there, you couldn't see it. Why did Jesus use the mustard? He said, it doesn't depend on the strength and size of your faith. It depends on the strength and size of your God. You can have strong faith in thin ice and step out, and the ice will crack and you'll drown. You can have weak faith in thick ice and walk all the way across that water. Small faith, mustard seed faith in a great God will accomplish incredible things. Faith is simply trusting in the Word that Jesus has spoken and obeying. Faith, stronger faith, surrenders to what Jesus says. Number three, I want you to see this. The Bible says stronger faith sees what our eyes cannot see. I want you to look in verses 51 and 52 of the text. The Bible says this. As the man was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when his son began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." We'll go into verse 53. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." I want you to notice something, and it's here, it's right in the text, but you'll miss it if you don't pay attention. There's a gap of around 24 hours between John chapter 4, verse 50, and John chapter 4, verse 51. There's a gap. John doesn't make it explicit, but I promise you it's there, and I'll show it to you. Jesus told the man, "Go, your son will live." That's verse 50. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And then there's about a 24-hour gap between verse 50 and "As he was going down, his servants met him." You say, how do you know that? Here's how I know. Because the distance between Cana, where the man was, and Capernaum, where his boy was a distance of about 17 miles. So if he was walking, he could have walked that distance in about 5 to 7 hours. He probably was on a chariot or on horseback. He could have done that in under 2 hours. So Jesus tells him, "Go, your son will live." The Bible says he went on his way. And then the Bible says that as he was making his way back home, his servants met him and told him his son was recovering. He asked them what hour it was. They said, "Yesterday at the seventh hour," which was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So the day before, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus had told the man, "Your son will live." Now it's the next day. It's about 24 hours later. And the man's finally making his way back home. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody had told me my son who was near death was going to live, I would have gotten back home as quickly as I could have possibly gotten back home. I would have wanted to be there. I could see what was happening and find out what his condition was. This man heard from Jesus, "Your son will live." And he just hung around Cana. He stayed there. I don't know what he did. Maybe he had friends that he visited. Maybe he had a restaurant he liked to go to there in Cana. Maybe there was a place he liked to visit and spend the night there. I don't know what it was. But he stayed until the next day. Why did he do that? Why didn't he go and see what was happening with his son? Here's why. He didn't have to see. His faith saw. By faith, he knew that what Jesus said was going to happen. Amen. He believed. Faith sees what our eyes cannot see. God has made every one of his creatures to correspond to their environment. Your dog can smell things that you'll never smell. It's amazing how powerful that dog's sense of smell is. If you've got a cat, I don't know anything about your cat, but your dog can smell things that you'll never smell. Bats are able to navigate through sonar. Pigeons are able to track where they're going by sensing magnetic fields. God has created every one of his creatures suitable to their own environment. Here's what the Bible tells us about us. God has made us to navigate by faith in him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must believe or have faith that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 14, that which does not proceed from faith is sin. Jesus said to someone who was coming to him asking for something, he says, may it be done to you in proportion to or in accordance to your faith. When God measures us, he looks at our faith. He doesn't look at our education. He doesn't look at our wealth. He doesn't look at our experience. He doesn't look at our age. He measures our faith. And by faith, we see things that we could not otherwise see. I'll show you one other characteristic of stronger faith. Number four, the Bible shows us this. Stronger faith spreads to others around us. Stronger faith spreads to others around us. Look again in verse 53 of the text. When the father heard this news that his son was healed at the seventh hour the day before, the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed. I love this. And all his household. Now look at those two phrases at the end of verse 53. He himself believed. Now he had believed what Jesus said before. But here it's even more strong. It's even more emphatic. Here he himself believed. He didn't just believe in what Jesus had told him. He believed in Jesus. He said, this one who healed my son is none other than the Son of God. He believed on Jesus. And not only did he believe, it says all his household. That includes everybody. When he got home, I can imagine him sitting down and telling his wife what had happened and how he had come to Jesus and said, you know, I tried to make him come here and he told me to go home and that our son would be made well and live. And she heard and she said, if you believe, I want to believe like that. If their son who was healed was old enough, he heard the story about how Jesus healed him and he believed. If they had other sons and daughters, they heard the story and they believed. Why? The Bible says he believed and all his household, that means his wife, that means his kids, it means the servants who had brought back the report, they heard and they believed. When you have a growing faith, a stronger faith in Jesus, it will spread to other people around you. You cannot believe for somebody else. But the way you believe and the way you trust Jesus absolutely will influence somebody else. Your faith in Jesus will influence your children's faith, will influence your grandchildren's faith, will influence the people who work with you and their faith. Your faith, as it grows, will spread. And the Bible says that saving faith, that stronger faith spreads to others around us. There's one other thing, one other characteristic. This is not a point of my message, but I want to make this point before I go on. One other thing about faith. Not only does faith seek Jesus and surrender to what Jesus says and see what our eyes cannot see and spread to others around us. The Bible is so clear in telling us that faith in Jesus saves. Faith saves. In fact, the Bible says the only way you can be saved is to be saved through faith. It's the only way you can be made right with God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the Bible talks about how faith saves. John writes this. He says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe, that means to have faith, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, by faith, you may have life in His name. Faith saves. If you travel to Charlotte, North Carolina, and go to the Billy Graham Library, you can walk on the grounds, and there near the facility is the gravestone, the grave marker for Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of the evangelist Billy Graham. The stone is rough and very, very simple. It has a Chinese character at the top that means righteousness. It's a reminder that Ruth Bell Graham was born in China. It has her full name, Ruth Bell Graham. It has the date of her birth, has the date of her death. No listing of her accomplishments as a mother and a wife and a Christian leader. But at the bottom, there is a quote from a road sign. And it says this: end of construction. Thank you for your patience. Billy Graham wrote about that, told how that came to be on his wife's gravestone. He said that Ruth was out driving one day and she saw this through this construction zone, and there was sign after sign after sign after sign telling her about the construction, and finally at the end there was a sign that said, end of construction, thank you for your patience. When she got home from that trip, she said, I want that on my gravestone. And she laughed about it, but she was serious. He said she wrote it down. She made sure it was part of the plan. End of construction, thank you for your patience. The moment you were saved, God put a sign on your life that says, begin construction. Right now, your life is under construction. And the thing that God is most interested in is how your faith in Him is growing. So when God looks at you, I ask you today, does He see a stronger and stronger faith? I want you to bow your heads as we pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this good day that you've given us, and for the joy of being together here in this place. And Lord Jesus, we come to you and we know we don't have it all together. There are areas of immaturity, there are areas of deficiency in every one of us. Lord, we know there's a need for us to grow. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that just as you strengthened this nobleman's faith who came to you, Lord, that you can strengthen our faith. Lord, I pray for those in this room today who right now are struggling with some area in their life. It may have to do with their children. It may have to do with a spouse. It may have to do with a grandchild or a dear friend. But Lord, I pray for those who today are struggling and asking for you to give them faith to trust you to provide what you alone can do. Lord, you alone can bring healing. You alone can lift the spirit of a depressed person. You alone can make things right and put a marriage back together or put a family back together when it's torn apart. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would give your people today grace to look to you and to find in you what you alone can provide. Lord Jesus, show your people today that you are all that we need. And then, Father, I pray for those who are here today who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. Lord, show them right now how much you love them, how much they need you. Lord, your word tells us that our sin separates us from you. And Lord, we can never be good enough to make ourselves right with you. But Lord, your word tells us that Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to take away our sin and to make us right with you, that we receive your gift of forgiveness through faith. And Lord, I pray for men, women, young people in this room who have never trusted Jesus, that right now they would, that by faith they would call on your name and ask for your gift of salvation. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to invite you.